Tonight, I don't think we've ever talked about this, but it's a pretty important one to me. What is your favorite milkshake?
Usually strawberry.
Okay.
When I used to go to Steak and Shake, I would get a side by side milkshake that was strawberry and banana. Yep. And that was quite good.
Yep, that's pretty good. I could just go for straight banana though.
Oh no.
It's pretty good. Or like an orange freeze.
Okay. So you're getting more into like a smoothie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're a little different here, boys.
You can't go wrong with any milkshake.
No, of course not. Milkshakes, I think, are very underrated nowadays. I think that we need to bring them back, first of all. But I do think a chocolate peanut butter milkshake is on a different level.
I don't hate it.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's chocolate and peanut butter. How can you go wrong?
I know. But, I mean, you remember, like, houses would legitimately, like, in the 50s and 60s, in their kitchen, they had an actual build-in into the countertops that would just be for making milkshakes. Like, that was such a fucking common thing. It's like, God damn it, work sucked. Make me a banana fucking milkshake. It's crazy to think about. But, yeah. So, banana, side-by-side, chocolate peanut butter, all good things I would not say no to.
They're good.
Milkshakes are great, and they bring the boys to the yard. So careful if you have them.
And Oscars.
And Oscars. Did that win? Yeah, he got at least a nod. I think he got nominated for sure. I don't know if he won or not.
The same year as No Country for Old Men, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
No Country for Old Men ended up
winning. Yep. Also a good movie. Very good movie.
The only good book Cormac McCarthy has written.
Wow. Bold statement there.
I'm not falling for that, Chase. Nice try.
He's a very good writer.
It's episode 359.
Use some punctuation once in a while. That's all I ask.
You don't think Cormac McCarthy is a very good writer? You don't think the greatest novelist of the 20th century is a very good writer? Get the fuck out of here.
I think you have to use periods to be a good writer. He
uses periods.
Oh my God.
I can't have this conversation right now. I'm going to explode.
I don't know if I ever want to have a conversation again. I don't even read books.
It's not like I said Tolkien's mid. I haven't read any of Tolkien's books, so I couldn't actually tell you if he's mid. The movies are fine.
If you came for mid, though, we've got something for you. It's called episode 359 of The Casual Hour. It is January 10th. The literary pundit that you're listening to right now is Chase Kinnicky. And the
big reader over here.
The butthurt pundit that you're listening to is Johnny, and I'm Bobby, and I'm just happy to see this unfold. But we have a lot of things to talk about tonight. This is a breakdown of how we do this show. Is we talk about the games that we've been playing, and we get into the news. We've got some fun stuff. We're going to talk about NORPs, we're going to talk about Tekken, we're going to talk about Turbo Overkill, Star Ocean, and we've got a bunch of stuff in the news, some heartwarming stuff and some heart-wrenching stuff, and we'll get to all that here in just a little bit. So make yourself at home. And Johnny, what have you been playing?
I finally checked out that Tekken 8 demo. I downloaded it on my PlayStation, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago.
I didn't realize it's been out that long.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. And then I was like, I should really play that. So I downloaded the demo through Steam and I played it today.
Is that the reason you? That there was another reason that you gave a shot, yes.
Uh-oh.
What?
Was there some sort of famous actor who told you?
Yes. One Brian Cox was in a 5-minute video breaking down the complete lore of Tekken, going all the way back to the first game. And it
like paid to do so?
Yes.
Or just
Yes.
Not just voiceover.
God damn it.
It's him in a room basically going, why do all these fathers and sons throw them into off of cliffs? Into volcanoes.
It's so good. It shouldn't work, but he is full, like, he is not playing it like
he's fully committed to the bit.
Yeah.
It's great.
I love it's King. Amazing. But he's not a serious character.
That really made me think.
Hearing Brian really Cox say the devil gene. Multiple times.
Hell yeah.
Has already made my 2024. I don't even give a shit about Tekken, but that was truly wonderful.
So Johnny, is this enough to A, warrant $70, and B,
yes.
Enough to make you say Street Fighter, you can sleep.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm going to keep playing Street Fighter. I'm just a fighting game guy now, guys.
We've just been toughing you up. I take full credit. We're the trainers from Rocky. We're just yelling at you, beating the shit out of you for totally. For years. And finally, fight.
It's obviously controls different because it's a different game. It's a 3D game. It's a 3D one. So you're moving around on the stage, but it's all the face buttons, just like I'm using in Street Fighter with the modern controls. So you have right punch, left punch.
It's all in the mind.
Yep, exactly. Yes. And it even has sort of an assist mode, which is not like modern controls. It's more like the assisted mode in Street Fighter. I probably won't play that way.
I don't know what the assisted mode is. I thought modern controls
was
the assisted mode in Street Fighter.
No, like there's an auto combo mode. Duh. Like you're just pushing buttons.
More like the mm-hmm. Persona and Dragon Ball one that's just like mm-hmm. keep bashing the button and
it'll do cool shit. Gotcha. Like that. So I played, I don't know, 45 minutes to an hour of it, just checking out the four different characters they had in the demo, seeing what each one of them played like. And I'm gonna say that game, it doesn't have the same, like the style isn't as splashy.
More arcade, traditional arcade, right? Like,
yeah. Which I mean,
3D Fighter, which way different.
Feels different to begin with. But it sold me.
That's awesome.
I got a feel for the new heat, I think is what they call it. You have a fire bar, and once it fills up, you tap the right shoulder button. And you just tap it four times, and every time it hits, you do like a different part of this special move. You have combos like you'd have in Street Fighter. And I'm no expert in fighting games, but it's been more than we are. I'm trying to think. The last time I played a Tekken game was probably on the PS2, maybe PS1. It's been a very, very long time since I played a Tekken game. I played some of 7.
Okay. I played not 6, but and I watched Evos of people
playing
7.
It's mainly like I have several friends that are buying it that I played Street Fighter with. And so knowing I'll have people I can play against and get good at the game like I did with Street Fighter.
Have you already decided on a main?
No, they had Paul,
Jin Kazama.
Jin was one of the characters, Nina. And so it was Jin Kazama, Kazuya Mishima, Paul Phoenix, and Nina Williams. Nina was kind of cool. She was like a special agent. Like her intro, she's carrying a pistol with her. She doesn't use it when you're fighting. But she has a lot of cool grabs and stuff. And Kazuya, he seemed like a bad guy because his special, he grew like bat wings.
He's got the devil gene.
Oh, geez.
He's got the devil gene. Grabbed the character
flip in there. Did you not hear anything that Brian Cox told you?
I did. Kazuya
is the son of Jin Kazama and the grandson of Heihachi.
Oh my god.
Heihachi Mishima.
I guess I need to watch it a few more times. I don't know.
Heihachi was worried about the devil.
I just doubt your commitment to Sparkle Motion.
He threw Jin Kazama off a cliff. But he lived.
I was too busy fighting to think about the lore in that moment. Okay.
He was too busy fighting to think about the Lord. Did you hear that, everyone? He's turned his back on it.
Heihachi is dead. He's been dead for a bit.
He's dead.
He's finding like more of his kids. More grandkids that are out there.
We'll see. I will say.
Who's the girl with the cool purple jacket? She's a new character. Know,
Chase.
Who's also like one of.
I didn't know. Chase
I don't
was
know. Look,
this into I, fucking Tekken.
I'm not into it. I just remember
through osmosis
that I've seen.
So I think the story mode will be a lot of fun. And I don't know. I doubt I'll put as much time into this as I did with Street Fighter. Just because I think I prefer 2D overall for fighting games, but it made a really strong impression. I was not sure I was going to pick it up at all, but that 45 minutes playing it, I was like, okay, yeah, there's enough.
Just when he thought he was out, they reel him back in.
I don't think he was out. Nobody thought he was out.
I did.
He's still, no, you didn't.
Oh, I'm still playing Street Fighter at least a couple times a week.
You know for sure he's still playing
Street Fighter. I thought it was cute.
That man's not out.
Yeah, so not a whole lot to say. Like, once the full game is out, I'll sink more time into it and see. Like, the arcade mode seems cool. They have it's not a story mode, but you're traveling from arcade to arcade across this map. And I think you're challenging other people at these arcades. And then, of course, you have your regular CPU versus player. They have their online mode, which I think that usually makes or breaks the scene for a fighting game, right? So I think it's supposed to be decent. But I don't know, Street Fighter 6 is really, really good. It's gonna
be a tough one to beat.
It's gonna be tough to beat that experience because it's so solid. Sure. And that is Tekken 8. And then a game you and I both played that I think you've played a lot more of than I have, is the NORP Apologue.
Yeah.
Which is an idle clicker, but it's also deeper than that, maybe.
Yeah, it's
Bobby, break it down for me. You have a better grasp on this than I do, because you've unlocked way more stuff than I have.
For sure. So this is the NORP Apologue. It is out December 14th, 2023. It's being made by Maiko, and it'll set you back $7. And this is an idle clicker. It has an incredible pixel-based art style of a bunch of tiny little creatures and characters that are rocks, but we call them NORPs. And there is a gigantic
boys.
Yeah, great boys. A gigantic boulder that you need to attack to produce shards. And as you're doing that, you kind of get into not only a clicker or an idle game, but kind of an automation game too, because you're wanting to maximize your output. It reminds me a lot of tuning the like frequency and system and timing on factory games, where it's like, this machine can harvest this, but if I have these things go into it, I can click it up a few paces. So you kind of have these games within a game happening on like, how can I optimize and get something incredibly wild on it? I'll also note from a technical standpoint, this game does a lot of stuff in the background, like if you do minimize it, but it was built in Rust, which I'm not overly familiar with, but the amount of stuff happening on screen with this game to not have like hardly any impact on the performance of your computer or your, like, somebody on a Steam Deck was saying that they were able to just load this up and let the Steam Deck go for 9 hours with this game playing, which is fucking insane to think about. So all that to be said, it's a game about managing your shard production and your shard collection. And there's a lot of tongue-in-cheek things such as, hey, you can go and open up a cocoa shop. And in that cocoa shop, you get mountaineers. And those mountaineers' only purpose is to stomp down and throw the shard piles that mimic Scrooge McDuck's basement over to your runners, because there is a gap between the rock and your base. And you're not only dealing in collecting shards, like a couple hundred. No, this game is like, you unlock this when you have like 600 million shards. Like, and that seems like a very unobtainable thing.
I've been getting psyched when I break like 10,000.
So I
just keep scaling.
I'm at a point now. Well, yeah, there's a mysterious rock that has a whole skill tree based off of unlocking how many times you prestige. And if you prestige in the game, there's about like, it's like you're filling up a progress bar that is based off of your collection rate. And then you just prestige, wipe away everything you have, but you get points to unlock more abilities, which is anytime you build a house, you get a free house if you unlock that part of the skill tree. And that's super helpful because housing goes up in cost. And that's what I have turned on, is just auto housing on it. It's a game that
I just got that.
Yeah, it's huge. It's a game that I think is just one of the coolest dip in and dip out. Like, hey, I'm in between a meeting. I've got literally 2 minutes. Let me just click and make sure things are going. And I just have a blast watching it. It reminds me of how I used to watch screensavers in the 90s on my parents' computer and just kind of like fall in love with it. The art style reminds me a lot, actually, speaking back to that era, the skiing game, Ski Free, where you could get eaten by, it reminds me a lot of Ski Free.
You can also change the tones, the hues, using the F keys.
Yep.
So F3 makes it this black and white, which reminds me of the Analog Pocket, actually.
Oh, yeah.
And it's got, like, it's very, very simple, but also cool.
It's like a Wes Anderson movie, also, in a lot of ways. It reminds me of, like, the quirkiness that you would see from just placement and tone in one of those movies. Like, we talked offline about it. I don't know why I can't help but shake this, like, a semblance to baseball. And baseball is not even something I, like, loved, but I was very fascinated by just its impact that it had and what it was doing. And not only the zeitgeist with this game currently, but just the fucking overall tone of it. It's really remarkable.
Yeah, it seems like one of these kinds of games comes out every handful of years that that gets people's attention. I remember, you know, a long time ago, it was Candy Box and Candy Box 2 and seeing where that went. I feel like it was just a few years ago, but it was almost assuredly much longer than that. But Universal Paperclips was another one I remember being being a big deal of these kinds of games. I mean, you have your cookie clickers and things like that. As well, there was even that trash one with the raccoons that I played.
Oh, Donut County.
No. This is a clicker.
Oh, I remember what you're talking about now. Yes.
Yeah.
Kind of in the same vein as like moving out of your the Hidden Things. That's kind of one of these too. Yeah, but hidden like with or not Hidden Things, but the one you talk about moving out of your apartment on whatever.
That's more of like a story game kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, in this idea of clickers and idle games, and I remember like back in college, I played Tiny Tower and got really into Tiny Tower for a very long time it was just something I could be in a class. And then after that class was over, I can check and, I can get this thing going. I can get that one going. I can buy this new thing. And now I'm off to my next class. And then you get another hour before you check in again. Or if the lecture is really boring, you check in during the lecture. It's cool that these idle games still keep coming out and people are continuing to play with
the genre. New ways.
It's cool.
Yep, totally. So, John, anything else you want to add on that? The NORP epilogue?
I think that at least one of us has this idling on a second monitor right now
while we do this podcast. Yep, absolutely.
Won't name any names.
Yeah,
but
it rhymes with Bobby. I'm gonna get us going here, Johnny. Since we just wrapped that up together, I'll be brief on these other two games. But Thirsty Suitors is a game that I've been checking out. Chase and I got a chance to take a look at it as well. It's really fucking cool. This game came out, what was that, November 2nd. It is on Game Pass also. I think it's on just about everything, if I'm not mistaken. Is it on the Switch?
I think it is on the Switch.
I think it's on the Switch as well.
Let me make sure.
It seems like that's it's everywhere type of
thing. I think it's $30 across those platforms, and it was made by Outer Loop. They made Falcon Age a couple years back, if you remember that game. But this one is dealing with, it reminds me a lot of Scott Pilgrim Meets Night in the Woods. And that should maybe get your curiosity piqued a little bit there, Johnny. But
also Tony Hawk Meets Venba.
Yeah.
Like it's just kind of a lot of shit.
And maybe a little Persona, right? Persona.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it all kind of works.
It works relatively well. So to Chase's point, with Venba, you are getting into like this cooking thing with your mom, but it's also a lot more quick timey. And then you have the Tony Hawk, like you skateboard everywhere. So there are courses where you're like grinding and you're doing all kinds of crazy shit that way and unlocking new things with that. But then you get into turn-based battles where you have to do like status effects on people. And it's all about you coming back to your hometown and dealing with your exes. And it's written a lot like Night in the Woods. It's got a ton of heart, even more style. And it's
mentioned boyfriend dungeon in the
Yeah, oh yeah, we did. Boyfriend, that's a really great one.
Yeah.
It's really fucking cool. You've got like three bonus point areas, so it's like Bohemians, the Star, and Heartbreaker, and those change your abilities in battle. And the whole thing is about like laying a taunt to create a weakness on one of your suitors, and then you can exploit that with a skill-based attack in that same category. It's really fucking cool. It's a lot, but somehow it feels very approachable and it works really well.
I think it's one of those games that you're just never going to get bored of playing because it switches up what it's doing so often.
Yeah.
Like if you play that game for an hour, you do like 10 different things in that hour.
Totally. Totally. Again, this one came out. We've talked about some games so far that came out.
It was late last year, wasn't it?
Super late last year around holiday or like the NORP. That came out during Game of the Year for us, so we were all buried down in that. So that's one of the things that is always cool about this point in time in between the waves. You had to go back and pick up on things that maybe you would have missed. And I got to tell you, this next game is no exception to that. Turbo Overkill is fucking awesome. I'm just going to come right out and say it. This game came out on August 11th. I don't know how I missed this at all. I think that you and I actually played a demo of this, Chase, on one of the Steam Next Fest.
Probable, yeah.
This is a boomer shooter, really pretty pixel-based cyberpunk. You have a chainsaw for a leg that you activate when you slide. And
that is very dumb.
It's incredibly dumb.
That sounds awesome,
though. Is it all that different from Bayonetta's gun heels? Or
no, not assuredly not.
Good dumb.
It also sprinkles absolutely great dumb. And it even does one of my absolute favorite things in a first person shooter that I think the first time I really remember it was in Perfect Dark, alternative modes for all of your guns.
God, that's such a great feature.
It's honestly like I don't think we've talked about that enough. It's one of the
more video games.
I know. It's one of the coolest fucking things when you have that. It's one of the reasons why I wish I played with like a charge blade on or not charge blade. What's the one that can go from a sword to an axe in Monster Hunter?
That I use?
Yes.
Yeah, the charge blade.
Yes, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and it charges the capsules that you can then unleash in different. Anyway, we don't need to get into that.
So this is, you are basically being chased down by like a rogue AI in this game, and it has a ton of like, what if Duke Nukem, like the machismo of Duke Nukem, was done in a really good way, like self-aware, like it's pompous, it's very fucking aggressive, it's got a ton of attitude. Like there's a whole thing where you unlock like basically homing drunken missiles on your arm, and so you're holding your arm out putting reticules across all these enemies. And as you fire them off, you just turn and flip the bird and they all come in and crash and destroy everything. It's that type of like attitude that would be gross in like a Borderlands. But here it feels justified given the tone of what's going on.
Yeah. Like in that kind of like we talked about it when the VR version was shown, which looks terrible because it doesn't have any of that cool shit in it. But Bulletstorm.
Yeah,
was absolutely that. It was here's do all your crazy combo stuff. Here's these fucking dumbass meatheads talking.
Yep.
And it's fine that they're dumbass meatheads because the game is absolutely not taking them seriously.
Yeah. There's one really cool thing, like alternative fire mode. There's a pulse cannon that shoots a very fast and very good sounding, like dotted line of bright pink at enemies. The alternative fire is that you can leash up to three enemies in front of you. And as they're leashed, it's just doing a life drain. So it pulls up health bars for each character you leash, and you just watch it deplete those bars and then they fucking explode. But you can run around the room. Like even if it's a boss, I've leashed a boss and just ran around the room draining its health and had so much fun with it. And if all this wasn't enough, I just unlocked a grappling hook that shoots out, and you can use that to scale up but also spin around rooms. One more gun change I'll tell you about before I shut up here, because it's just really fucking rad. There's two SMGs that you dual wield. But you, the alternative fire is that you smash them together and they turn into a ranged assault rifle. Ooh, it's fucking awesome. It's so good. Alternative fire mode is the right button on the mouse, and a standard fire is just your left button. So it's really easy to switch between those two. Game fucking rules. I don't know if I said the price is $25. If you have Steam, there is a downloadable demo that you can get to check this out. I think it's very much worth it. You get through the first act, I believe, of the game, and then it gives you a taste of a boss encounter and it wraps up that demo. But this one's really cool, and boomer shooters typically don't do it for me. But this one is absolutely probably the most fun I've had since 2016's Doom that came out a few years. Like, it was really fucking cool.
Okay, well.
Now
that you said that.
I am still living clean. Zero Destiny in this house in 2024. I haven't even watched my Destiny
really?
YouTubers.
Are you serious?
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
So far, clean.
Okay. Okay. Clean.
But
we sent Chase to the
fire stuff.
The Betty Ford Clinic for Destiny addicts.
Yeah. There was that.
Which step the program you own now, Chase?
There was that Revision Zero gun that was like, here's a 4-round burst pulse rifle, but if you get enough hits with it, you can switch to the alternate fire mode, which just throws on this giant scope, and now it becomes a sniper rifle for a few shots.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Destiny, man, that game had some pretty good guns in it.
It has really good guns in it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of bad things too, though.
Living clean.
Living clean. That's the hey. Write that down.
I doing it.
LIVIN clean.
Well, I can go pretty quick here.
Take your time.
I came back to Star Ocean Second Story R.
You were pretty high on this.
Yeah, I didn't play too much of it back last year, but what I did play, I really enjoyed. I had not played the second Star Ocean game before, which I think was originally a Super Nintendo game.
Okay.
But this game's still great. I'm still having a great time. One of the things that I've found as I've played it more is that you can just really break it.
Oh,
it's like asking for it to be broken
in good ways. Like,
yeah, look like at I'm getting so much experience now that my characters
gotcha.
Are just skyrocketing in levels. I have four characters. Well, I just got a fifth character in my party tonight, and he's level 25 when he starts. And I think that's supposed to be kind of where everybody is, where you are. And my characters are all level 50 plus other than him. So, I may have done something to break the
game. Whoa.
But it's just skills that you can invest into that, lower your stats to get you higher XP gains. And then also there's a system in the game that if you can keep this chain going, without getting, hit in the back by an attack, that you can just keep these bonuses up, and these bonuses can be adjusted to be you get more money and experience after every fight. And then the game also has a system where if enough enemies are close to each other, they get these little red lines where they chain into one single battle where you just do wave of wave of wave of enemies, and then at the end you get big bonuses to your XP and your money because you fought them all at once in this longer battle. So when you combine nice. Those kinds of things together, you just get to the point of, oh, instead of getting 2,000 experience points from this battle, I got 30,000 from this. So all my characters are gaining levels basically every other battle, and you're just looping this into kind of a crazy thing, to the point where now all the enemies have turned green from their normal purple, which means that they now run away from me when they see me.
What?
And I can also. I've got another thing called Bodyguard on right now that means my other party members can go and just attack those things randomly. And if they attack them and I don't run into them with my character, they'll just kill them automatically. And I get the money and experience from just the fight. Now, you don't get the big chain fight experience with that. And when they're green, they also give you less experience because now you're so higher level than them. But it's still, I'm to a point where I've just kind of broken the game wide open. And I find that to be very fun. And
sure.
And playing around with skills and all
that. I mean, you know how it is. We like to fucking break Monster Train. That's like some of the funnest things that you totally. And I do. It's like, absolutely. If you can do it, fucking break it.
But also I think there can be an unfun way to do that.
If you get if you go to the Cinnabar Island and get the 99 rare candies and just make all your Pokemon level 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. Before, yeah. Totally.
That can be not fun sometimes. But one of the things that has kept that interesting to me is in Star Ocean is that there are so many other skills, secondary skills that you get that can be combined. So there's music that's in the game as well. And if you put enough points into somebody's music stat, then you can get instruments and compose music. And then you can
sell
things for big money. Not exactly, because you're not using the instruments in battle.
Oh, okay. This is like a job.
Yeah, it's like a job thing that you're getting a secondary thing. Or I've got somebody who's level 10, max level in writing. So now they can write skill books and things like that, that either I can sell or I can use on my own characters to get even more skill points for different things.
Nice.
So it's not just the battling that is making the game interesting. It has these other aspects to it that, even though the battling at this point has become relatively trivial, and maybe that'll change as the things continue to scale, but I still have goals and things to do. So that's been a lot of fun.
How many people are in your party?
5. I got a doctor guy who just added to my party.
I didn't say anything when you were talking, but for anybody who's watching live as we record this, I did throw a link in the chat. Chase and I got to record one of our quick flicks on that. If you're not familiar, we do those all the time. It's really fun. Go check it out. We'll have it linked in our show notes too. So if you are curious about this game and seeing some of that stuff in action, Chase did a really nice job walking me through the game and giving me a good quick look at what was going on with it.
Thanks. There's still a lot of game left. And I don't know if I'll see the finish of it, but I'm enjoying what I'm playing right now. And one last thing that just makes it so easy to pick up and play. It had been a few months since I had picked this game up last. But when in the game, I think this is something that you're getting specifically from this remake version. They just tell you where to go.
Yeah.
There's always just a thing on the screen that says, this is where your main objective is. You can go here and get the stuff done. So it's kind of a Fable 2 like thing of, hey, I'm going to fuck around because I know I can always find my way back to the thing that I'm supposed to go to. It just allows for more of that exploration rather than having to feel like you have to go talk to every single person to get.
That's really fucking helpful, especially on a big game like this.
Totally. It's more that, oh, I want to go talk to that person just to see what they have to say, and less of, oh, I have to go talk to everybody.
Yeah.
And,
I get that.
I find that to be much more enjoyable. So I think that's a pretty good game.
That's awesome, man. Very cool. Stay clean, Chase. We like a clean Chase here in this house.
I know we've also all been playing another video game that we're not going to talk about on this show or this week's show at the very least, and maybe this show at all. I don't know. But we spun a wheel last week. It was Final Fantasy Tactics Advance. I know I've put a good chunk of time in that, and I think you both have started as well.
Yeah, I'm happy to say I'm giving that a thumbs up right now. Having a great time.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome. Cool. Well, that's what we've been playing. Just to recap, we talked about the NORP Apologue. We talked about Tekken 8, Thirsty Suitors, Turbo Overkill, Star Ocean, the second story R. And that means it's time for the casual report. Let's see if this works. And it does work. Look at that. We are going to be talking about a few things, and this is where Johnny will take us through it. Johnny.
Yep.
Do I need to be saving some money or what?
Oh, Bobby. First,
you
need to have spent $10,000, and then we can have this conversation. We're talking about Star Citizen, their everything pack that they just announced costs a meager 48 grand. So if you've got that line around, you can get every ship in the game. All the ships. Oops, all ships.
Oops, all ships.
I feel a lot better about you know, any of the money I've put into
anything,
either
anything Emblem, ever,
anything, but specifically either Fire Emblem Heroes or Magic Cards.
In the last years. My son has spent all of the money he received for Christmas and over his birthday on Dragon Ball Legends on his phone.
But that's different, Johnny. That's content.
Yes. So,
you know, sure. Okay. He's making money. You got to spend money to make money. Anyway,
he told me that one of the banners was a scam, and you know I appreciated that as somebody who.
That's nice of him.
Save my money specifically.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Just
so
I want you to get Majin Vegeta again. Like, come on, there are better ultra rares out there.
You've been watching his videos.
Yeah.
He's his number one fan.
That's crazy because I don't watch his videos.
Yeah.
I would not. If I was his dad, I would not.
So yeah. I love.
You want to love him
every time. Yeah. I love anytime Star Citizen is in the news because that game is such a scam. It is just this ongoing grift. It's raised like $700 million.
You have two ends of the spectrum with it. You've got this game and you've got the day before type of a scam. And those are like the two. What kind of scam is it? Yeah, that's this the scam spectrum.
I mean, this is the better one because they just keep getting money.
Yeah, they're charging $48,000. You have to take a fucking loan out to buy this shit.
Oh, thank you. That's a great segue. The whole reason I brought this story in is to plug. I have an article going up tomorrow for Hard Drive. Where Star Citizen to begin offering reverse mortgages is the headline. Oh,
fuck yeah.
And I'm pretty happy with it. I've been wanting to write something about them.
I don't like this idea of Johnny co-opting our news section on our podcast.
I plug it now rather than at the end of the show. Bobby doesn't have to have
he's
it.
In, he might be the in the brain trust, but this is the smooth brain trust, and he's getting all the good stuff.
I feel like you're compromised for our show.
We had this. You could have poo-pooed this before we started the show.
I don't read anything on the casual report.
I said it out loud. Putting this in here so I can promote my story that's coming out tomorrow.
Oh, you're fine.
You were too busy trying to make me upset about Cormac McCarthy.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's
still real to me, damn it.
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's the thing you can buy if you're an insane person.
If you can, don't tempt me with a bad time.
God. And then moving on, let's get this other bummer news out of the way. So we've already had a lot of layoffs and it's only 10 days into the year. But Unity announced today they're laying off they announced this week they're laying off 25% of its staff, which equals about 1,800 people across its workforce. And it said it's making the cuts as it restructures and refocuses on its core business and to position itself for long-term and profitable growth.
Hey, maybe next time, don't let your fucking CEO go out and be an absolute goddamn horse's ass.
Yeah, maybe don't make the fucking bean counters the CEO. Maybe make someone who knows a thing or two about the product.
Oh, but you're going to lay off?
I'll tell you, they didn't fix that then.
No. But the problem is that, again, people who were there doing the job obviously had no say in what the fucking mouthpieces and idiots up top had to say about it. So now 1,800 people later are out. I mean, because this is not the first wave that they've done there. They did some middle of the year last year.
Yeah, the assholes at the top will keep to being to make bad
100%.
Decisions. And the people who make the product that they sell are the ones who suffer. So it's a bummer. Like it's a bad time.
It's a bad time
for people in the games industry. And moving on,
sticking on just layoffs. I hear like Twitch Amazon is
Twitch is laying off. I think like
500 people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a few different things. I think against Prime against that as well. There's like three or four sections of Amazon that got hit by it today. I don't know which
turns
one had
out, like it's still happening.
Yeah.
Yep.
The year changed, but everything else is
you can be as profitable as you have ever been.
You You can be fucking Amazon, for God's sakes, and you're still doing this shit.
I would like someone to make it make sense to me.
Good luck.
Yeah. So you guys, you know, there's a Minecraft movie that has been long in development, long time. Is Rob McElhenney still involved with that? Like, he was set to direct it.
Well, I mean, there's already been a cast of characters you'll get to here in this article. I mean, there's a lot of people still attached to it from an acting standpoint.
Yeah. But the big announcement recently was that Jack Black will be playing Steve, the hero, main character for Minecraft.
Yeah, no, that's Hero Brian, not
Hero Brian. Hero Brian doesn't exist.
Well, yet.
But if there's not a Hero Brian reference in this movie, then they will have failed.
Yes, 100%.
Who else is attached to this? There's some big names, right?
Jason Momoa is in it.
Jason Momoa, Daniel Brooks, and Myers.
Yep. Some big people.
This is like a story that told in Minecraft.
Yeah, I haven't heard if it's going to be animated or if it's going to be live action or like a mix of both.
How could it possibly be live action?
I thought because Jack Black gets sucked into the game and becomes Steve.
Oh, it's a Tron situation?
Yeah, I think it's probably going to be. Honestly, Tron is a very good way of looking at it. It's really chased something called an isekai. What happens there?
Please, Bobby, explain that to Chase.
That costs money, and you can spend that money on every casual Monday, every Monday at 9 p.m. where Chase and I play video games and I learn about anime.
Do you think what's his fucking name? Do you think Notch is going to show up in the movie?
Oh my god!
I hope
that
not.
Guy, fuck that guy.
I hope not.
He built the whole fucking thing.
Yeah, but that guy fucking sucks. He's kind of a fascist dickhead.
Well, hey, look, if Billy Corgan can become the face of Disney, I think that we can probably have a Notch be the face of fucking Minecraft video game.
Well,
he helped Psychonauts 2 be made in some very small way. So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What else we got, Johnny?
Rumors suggest the Xbox is bringing more games to the Nintendo Switch and PS5.
Hey, this has been debunked. I can go ahead and it's a video game that Chase wanted to play. Maybe he played. Came out on Game Pass. It is a continuation of an FMV. Y'all know what I'm talking about yet?
No.
You were really upset you didn't play it. You liked the other two games quite a bit. This one was... Yes. Immortality is coming to the PlayStation 5.
Okay.
Oh yeah, I saw that today.
That's exciting. That's what this was. So
that's very exciting. That's a good game. But Sea of Thieves, Hi-Fi Rush.
These were rumored to be the games that were going to come over to it. Sea of Thieves has been rumored for a long time.
That would make them like that game.
It's a game as a service. That's one that should. Yeah. I don't think it's smart for Hi-Fi Rush to go there. I could see the Switch, considering that there's been more of a partnership, I think, between Nintendo and Microsoft, but I still feel that one feels more, that's an Xbox mover, in my opinion. I think Sea of Thieves is a game like Minecraft that has such a following, and it's on PC, of course. You can buy it another.
Do you think Hi-Fi Rush sold Xboxes?
I think it could. I think people were more excited about that than they have been for other things. Certainly.
I don't disagree with that. I don't know how many people would have bought an Xbox to specifically play Hi-Fi Rush. I mean,
I'm not saying Xbox. I'm saying Game Pass.
Okay, it's a Game Pass seller for sure. I had Game Pass already, but you know, cool. It was cool having Game Pass, knowing that you could just load that up and have it.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I do feel that the Sea of Thieves makes a lot of sense to go out and be a thing that people can play regardless of where they're at.
Yeah. At some point with those service games, it's all like every fucking business now. It's all growth. So the moment you get stagnant is the moment things are fucked. So at some point you are on all the Xboxes, you have to go to a new ecosystem. And that's where you go to a PS5 or I guess probably whatever the new Switch is. I don't know if Sea of Thieves works on a current Switch. And also with it being, I know you can play online games with the Switch, but being that the Switch is also a portable device,
yeah,
Sea of Thieves kind of weird on something like that.
They did state, it's, I don't know if it's out yet or not, but that game's getting finally like its own dedicated private server. So you can just run one for just you and your friends to go and do all this shit. I actually think that sounds really fucking cool.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's kept me away.
The grifting?
What?
The grifting that happens, like when you're out there, like...
Sea of Thieves?
Yeah, I feel like you get attacked all the fucking time in that game.
Yeah, that's grifting or griefing?
Griefing, I'm sorry. Sorry.
It's like, what, people shake you down? Like, hey, if you don't give me all your
I mean, they kind of do that too. Like,
give of thieves. Yeah. What are you expecting it to be, yeah, Johnny? Like,
they do, yeah, they do take but your if bananas. I'm
just one man against the whole crew. What,
oh my
what
God, this sea is full of thieves. Hey, I'm so unexpected.
These thieves. He hates these seas.
Man, I just watched The Jerk recently.
It's so good. It's so good.
It is quite good.
You missed the here you go.
I was gonna finish up the news because this is a happy story.
The story rules.
This 13-year-old streamer goes by Blue Scooty, became the first ever human to beat the NES version of Tetris. If you haven't watched the video, please go watch it. It is incredible because he realizes what happens and he just kind of like falls back. I think doesn't his mom come in at some point? And
he missed it. So the
he had to keep going.
He had to keep going past when you typically get it because he missed it. And so he's doing that, and his mom comes in, and she's, you know, a mom in this situation.
Are you winning, son?
Yeah, it's literally that. But I mean, it is just this moment of equal parts triumph, and exhaustion. When he does it, and it's so fucking remarkable to see, like it's incredible. Like I jokingly put here, there's a Tetris kill screen coming up, but this has the same like Steve Wiebe fucking go with it and do it, like be the one.
Yeah, because you're absolutely in that flow state.
Yes, you know, absolutely.
And it's great. The anyone else get frustrated when they saw that BBC reporter, like, you know,
go outside, nerd.
Yeah, exactly. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, she basically said this kid needs to go outside, like, go touch grass. It's like, BBC, fucking,
yeah,
don't fucking choke on pepper being on your food, you fucking idiots. Let the kid play Tetris.
Eat your mashed peas. Yeah,
mashed fucking peas. God damn it.
And that's the news. That's
can your kid beat Tetris?
He's rolling those blocks, bro.
He's too busy role playing in Roblox and
God damn it.
Dubs in Fortnite.
Is he even making money off Roblox?
I don't know.
Sweating to the oldies. I'm tired, boss. I'm tired, boss. Hey, this has been a What You've Been Playing episode of the Casual Hour. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Bobby. That's Chase. That's Johnny. We do a lot of other things besides podcast. This week, we got to go back and finally check out on a Monday night by some miracle. Cobalt Core and Chase, I'm gonna say we did pretty damn good that night. We played really well. If you haven't seen that game, it's an awesome little deck builder. Slay the Spire meets FTL. And then we have not recorded Quick Flicks for this week, but we really wanted to show you Lego Fortnite and Zetzillions. We'll probably find another time to record those and get them out there. But this Friday, the return to form, if there is a form here, for Casual Friday's Lethal Company. That's going to be a lot of fun where Johnny and I get together and we'll be joined by our friend of the show, Jason, for that one. Chase, I still haven't fixed our quick links here, but do you want to tell the folks where they can find you and what you got going on?
Yeah. So I've got a YouTube channel, Chasey K Plays, where I do some Let's Plays. Currently, I'm playing through Pokemon Stadium, only using rental Pokemon. It's a series I'm calling Stadium Brats. Johnny and Bobby have both been on. Bobby's been on twice at this point.
The
newest one that just came out today is the Ultra Cup or the Ultra Ball difficulty of the Prime Cup. So it's a solo one because things are starting to get a little harder, and I didn't want to subject friends to longer, more difficult Pokemon battling. So that was just me. Next week's is also going to be just me. It's already in the can and ready to go. But that's been great. That's been a really fun series. I'm learning stuff about Gen 1 battling mechanics that I didn't know, and also getting to flex some muscles that I haven't used. So that's been a great great time. And then also, we have a date scheduled for the next recording of Pilot Program. We're back. We're back now. There was the whole strike thing last year. And then after that, Pierce's and my schedules were just not clicking in a way that let us make that work. But now with the new year, we are getting back to it. We're going to be talking about The Twilight Zone, the 1962, I think, TV show.
Nice.
It's the oldest show we've done so far. That's going to be really fun. So I'll let you know when that is recorded and out, but excited to get back to that, because that's one of the things I really enjoyed doing in 2023. And it's a bummer that the strike kind of put a wrench in all that stuff. But
sure.
That's what I got.
Well, that's a lot. You'll be busy, but we'll have space for you here. Tune in on Friday to hear a lot of scary, spooky sounds come from me and Johnny with Lethal Company. We'll see you then.